Okay, good morning. Let's begin with a word of prayer and just bring these things to God that we've come together to worship together. America, and indeed the world, is under attack as far as worship is concerned, and we'll have more to say about that. Let's begin right now with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are for the freedom that we enjoy to come together to worship You, worship Your Son, Your Word. Pray, Father, that this morning we learn more about You and Your plan. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Now, in a little while, we're going to be singing or talking about redemption and being incapacitated, mentally incapacitated. So let's talk about that from our song. So let's go to 352. 352, and let's sing together, "I Am Thine, O Lord," and let's stand and sing as though you're alone in the shower and you can just do a prayer out. All right, let's sing.
Lord, I have heard Thy voice, and it's hopeful Thy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be closer drawn to Thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious bleeding side. Consecrate me now to Thy service, Lord, by Thy power of grace divine. Let my soul look up with a steadfast hope, and my will be lost in Thine. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, the pure delight of a single hour that before Thy throne I spend. When I kneel in prayer and with Thee, my God, I commune as friend with friend. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious feet. Depths of love that I cannot know till I cross the narrow sea. There are heights of joy that I may not reach till I rest in peace with Thee. Draw me nearer, nearer, blessed Lord, to the cross where Thou hast died. Draw me nearer, 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 blessed Lord, to Thy precious
I go through yes. Things as far as prayer is concerned and our request.
Oh, but you
can even get a breath.
Okay. Y'all made me turn it off when I'm singing.
All right, that's good. I have been a believer in Jesus Christ since I was 6 years of age. So it'd be 72 years ago. And prayer has always been vital and believable to me. And we need to be in prayer for each other. We need to be in prayer for each other in many different ways. For example, we need to be in prayer his wife, his name is Dick Johnson, and Dick is a believer, but he is going under as far as divorce. What is it? COVID-19. Yeah, COVID-19, and he needs to be our prayer, as does Jody and his wife, and their whole family. Let's be in prayer for Fran Anderson. Poor Fran's under a lot of battles, a lot of struggles, needs your prayers. So let's be in prayer for Fran. And any other prayer requests that we know of that we need to be in prayer? Yes?
Patricia has squamous cell cancer on her back. We've got to have her removed next week.
Who is that?
Squamous cell.
Oh, wow. What is that going to be?
We're going to get this week.
I don't know yet.
We still haven't scheduled it, but they...
Well, we'll just keep praying until it comes.
Yeah, when I make the appointment.
Where's Judith?
She's down. I feel so bad about it because we go to bed, go to sleep, and I wake up middle of the night to go to the restroom, and she's wide awake having problems, and I'll say, you know, I'm sorry and all that, and I'm asleep. She said, well, you're not too sorry about it. Too painful. And so please be in prayer for her at this time. St. Clair needs your prayers as he continues to get better, but he's not completely under the battle yet. Yes.
So if you'd be in prayer for Nick, continue to be in prayer for Nick. I know we always are, but he's...
No, we'd be in prayer.
He's down right now. He goes through these sequence of shots for this Lyme disease and allergy stuff and all of this. And when he gets towards the end of the cycle before his next shot, he's been dropping pretty dramatically.
Wow.
This was that week, so he has a shot tomorrow. Please be in prayer that it will be effective and bring him back up to where he...
Let's be in prayer. Absolutely.
And also, please be in prayer for my mom and dad. My dad went into the hospital on Wednesday with COVID-19. He's 88 years old and has...
Has he been diagnosed with it?
Yes, he's diagnosed with COVID-19.
Wow.
And they called 911 and sent him in. He couldn't breathe.
Definitely be in prayer.
So he has responded really well to the medication that they gave him. They did a procedure on Friday to take a pint of fluid off of his lungs so he could breathe. He's talking to my mom every day, which is a great sign. She can't go to the hospital. They won't let her in because it's the COVID-19 wing. They don't let people come in to visit. But he's been talking to her, so she can hear his strength come back a little bit.
We'll definitely be in prayer.
My dad and my mom as well. It's an interesting dynamic where when my dad goes to the hospital, my mom actually gets rest. So
we'll definitely be in prayer. Yeah, thank you.
When he's home, she's a nervous wreck with his health. So.
And if you need our update by Wednesday, let us know.
Okay.
So that Kit and we can talk about it there. That'll be good. But we'll be in prayer between then and now, but for an update.
Okay.
Good. All right. Any other prayer request? All right. Offertory. I think I mentioned it last week. The history of the passing of the plate is just a fun time of history. And there were parts of history where they gave out in the back of the auditorium. And then the one that I love is the part in American history where they had a long clock and it came by a stick and it would poke you. If you didn't get something, they'd pack you. Poke on the chair, boom. And it would just keep telling you, you need to give a little bit. And now, I guess that's so few. We don't pass a plate. I feel bad in passing a plate with so few people. And we need to continue the bills. How are we doing on the outreach?
The outreach, as of last year, December, we've reached 95 countries.
95 and 100.
Yeah.
Good.
95, yeah.
All right. We need to pray that back up speak, open up to people hearing and listening to the study of the Word of God. And the other bills that we have, so please bear that in mind. And we, as we continue bringing people together to study and teach the Word of God, but pray together. I'm having a battle right now about Hebrews making it a message in forsake not the gathering of yourself. God wants to do that. And he finds it very challenging for us to not gather among ourselves. What's interesting about history is a lot of history that you get from the voice of the martyrs, but people that come together and worship together. Oh, this week it'll be under somewhere in the woods. The next week it'll be somewhere in someone's house. Next week it's somewhere else. They cannot always be in the same place. But they want to worship together. And they do it. And so we continue being in prayer for them and be in prayer for ourselves in this regard. Okay, let's prepare ourselves for the study of the Word of God. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for the privilege that we have to come together and worship You together. And we pray, Father, that those that are with us on the internet, worshiping with us, those that are here, we pray together, Father, for the glory of Your Son, the glory of Your Word. Father, pray You'll open our minds to things You'd have us to see and understand. We pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen. Okay, this morning we're going to continue our study in redemption. But we're going to pause and put into it redemption and being incapacitated. We're speaking here of a stillborn baby, or one who dies before reaching the age of accountability to make a decision for or against Jesus Christ as Savior. Last Sunday, we began a very important study on redemption. There is so much involved in our salvation. One of the most confusing issues to many people today is what happens after the death of a baby, an unborn. And this is very big today because there's so much of it. There's a great deal of it in dealing with people having or taking their, I'm going to say, babies in the womb and taking them out. And a lot of people are having a lot of trouble with that. What is God doing with all of this that's going on? Now, the unborn baby, or the death of one who is mentally incapable, and the one who dies before reaching that age of accountability, is what we're going to examine a little bit in dealing with redemption. One is born, but one who does not reach the age of accountability, which means not enough are able to grasp believing in Jesus Christ as a Savior. This age of accountability can be many different ages, different years, various ages throughout the world. People in America, some people, now it's changing even here, but there was a time in American history where even 4, 5, 6 people were able to concentrate and understand the gospel. And I believed in Jesus Christ when I was 7, and I love my dear mom who gave me my gospel, but she wasn't all that sure and had me go talk to the preacher because I wanted to be baptized, and she wasn't too sure about all of that. And he wasn't either, and went in and we talked for about, oh, I guess maybe 30 minutes. And he came out and said, he's ready. And but some other people can be in their 20s and not brought to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. There are a few named in the Bible who are declared as living before God before birth. So therefore, this refers to those who may die even before birth. What about them? Please remember that there are two major points in salvation. One is negative, the other is positive. The negative is the removal of sins. The positive is receiving, adding to us, the perfect righteousness of God. Now, we first note the one who never reaches accountability. That's the one we're going to talk about. They never reach Jesus Christ as their Savior. So, by the justice of God, they are brought into a state of being with God forever, or in a state of salvation. The person who refuses to believe in Jesus Christ, saying no, spends all eternity in a lake of fire, separated from God, separated from Jesus Christ. Now, to be condemned, you have to reject receiving Jesus Christ. Is that clear? To be redeemed, you have to reject Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's very important. By the way, if I go through this, I go through it. You got any questions? Let's go through it. I'm not afraid of your questions. I may not know the answer, but I'll either say we'll find out, I don't know, or whatever it is. Now, these people are not subject or judged for having sins. They're not judged for having sins. Why? Because on the cross, Jesus bore all the judgment for all people's sins. All sins are forgiven. Ephesians 1:7, which we're in the midst of studying. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, which I pray one day we get to. For all sins are taken care of by the person and work of Jesus Christ. But even though sins are taken care of all persons, one must have the perfect righteousness of God in order to be saved, in order to have spent eternity with God. The only way to receive perfect righteousness is by faith in Jesus Christ, or be condemned to have the rejection of Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. But since there are incapable, these people that we're talking about are incapable of ever reaching the point of believing in Jesus Christ, they are taken care of by the fair justice of God. I'll come to that in a moment. On the cross, all sins are taken care of. People, I hope you begin to grasp how important the spiritual death of Jesus Christ really is. One of the important studies we're going to be studying in Ephesians 1:6 is the blood of Christ. Few people do not understand that. Now, why the forgiveness of sins and receiving forgiveness is according to the riches of His grace that we're studying in Ephesians 1:7. The only way of removing sins is by the work of Christ on the cross. Since Jesus Christ alone died for all sins, therefore no one will be saved by giving up their sins. I want to repeat that. No one is saved by giving up their sins. Ephesians 2:8, 9, Titus 3:4. The only sin that can keep a person separated from God is the sin of unbelief, rejection of Jesus Christ. Let me repeat that. The only sin that can keep a person separated from God is the sin of unbelief or rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. In fact, let's look at John 16. Let's look at John 16. Let me see. I got to bring a Bible here. Bring my Bible. Got to bring my Bible. Like it, it's take a time. Let's look at some of these things that are important. And so let's look at John chapter 6 and take a look at 16. Let's take a look at something. John 16. We've studied this already, but it's time to go back over it and get an understanding of it. So let's take a look at John 16, 8 through 11. So let's look at John 16, verse 8. And He, when He comes, now He's talking about the Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ teaching, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Now, we said there are two parts, positive and negative. Negative is sin, positive is redemption or righteousness, and the result of all of this is judgment. To how you stand, either with your righteousness or not. Now look at verse 9. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in Me. That's simple as it can be. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see Me. Concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world has been judged. I'll come back and say some more about that in a moment. But right now we're looking at the only sin that can cause people to be separated from God is the sin of unbelief or rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. Therefore, since one has never reached the point of accountability and sins are paid for by Jesus Christ, they will not have the basic sin of condemnation stated in John 16:9 concerning sin because they do not believe in Me. This person never reaches that point, so he never reaches the point of rejecting Jesus Christ. Therefore, by the justice of God, they will be with Jesus Christ for all eternity. But again, those who are not accountable and cannot even understand salvation alone by faith alone are not held accountable for that which they cannot even understand. They cannot understand sin, therefore they cannot reject Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. A very important passage on this very subject is Romans 1:20. Let's look at Romans 1:20. Romans 1:20. But since the creation of all the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, here's the key, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. Okay, I hope you see it now. There's a being understood by the work and being of God without excuse. This is, they are without excuse before the justice of God. Since those we're talking about never even able to understand all that God is and all that God has done, they will be excuse. They will have excuse by the judgment of God. They are not going to be judged for what they do not even understand. Talking about the fair justice of God. By the justice of God, salvation is by faith alone, in Christ alone. These are not accountable and are without sin. Christ has taken care of the sin. But the only condemning sin is rejection of Jesus Christ as Savior. They were unable to do that. We've also learned in John 16, 8-11, something about Satan. Satan is judged, proving the judgment of all who refuse to believe in Jesus Christ. So again, refusing to believe in Jesus Christ is the sin that sends mankind to eternity without Jesus Christ. Let me just pause and put something here. People, when you witness to somebody, and I pray you're witnessing to people, America's changed. People are not just learning the gospel some ways. They're going to have to learn it by being told by another believer. So it's up to us to witness about Jesus Christ to everyone. Now, let's apply the words of Isaiah 41:10. Let's look at that. Isaiah 41:10. To those who are forgiven of sins and born mentally incapable and therefore saved by the joy of justice of God. By the way, I just want you to know, we're going to go to Old Testament, New Testament, the Gospels, to find a little bit, and there's a lot more. This is not all day on this one subject matter. This is introducing our study on redemption. But if we want to know more, I'll give you more. But we have Old Testament, New Testament, the Gospels on this one subject matter. Now in Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Now let's just start understanding, can't even be able to fear. No other reason, not any reason to fear. So this is a person that can fear. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous hand. I'll uphold you. If so, this declares the salvation of everyone who dies, who sins, are removed, but are mentally incapable for making a decision about Jesus Christ, about righteousness before Him. Also, let's first find comfort in the last place of those who are mentally incapacitated, are unborn, are born as babies, stillborn. Let's look at Matthew 19:10. Matthew 19:10. But Jesus said, let the children alone. Okay, now think about what he said. Let the children alone. Do not hinder them from coming to me. Do not hinder them with the gospel. for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these, those that are not even aware of the kingdom. Note, they are such as those who have not rejected to Jesus Christ and are free of all sins. So, we are to go to them and to all people with the saving of knowledge of the gospel. Okay, in closing for this morning in this study, and I'll give you questions in a moment. One, are babies innocent of sin? Are stillborn babies, newborn babies, incompetent of sins? Yes. Their sins are taken care of. For Christ bore all the sins of the world. Continuing, the only sin that condemns us is rejecting Jesus as your Savior. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Second, what is the only sin that condemns mankind to eternal lake of fire? Two, rejection of Jesus as your Savior. Three, are babies or anyone who do not have the ability to make decisions of good and bad for Christ or against Christ, and they are they able to enter the promised land? According to Deuteronomy 1:39, yes. Let's look at Deuteronomy 1:39. Moreover, your little ones, all right, now he's talking to people, Jews in the land, going into the land, therefore, moreover, your little ones, talking about babies, who you have said would be prey. Now, P-R-E-Y. That means they're going to be killed before they're even old enough to do anything. And your sons, who this day have no knowledge of good or evil, shall enter there, and I will give it to them, and they shall possess it. The context is entering the land of promise, but certainly this would apply to the promised land of eternity. Four, what was the wisdom of Job, first book of the Bible, written to Jew and Gentile? What was the wisdom of Job in regards to his desire to have been born, stillborn, as opposed to being born with understanding? In understanding, not born with it, but born becoming able to withstand, understand things. This calls for an intense study of Job 3:11-19. In summary, Job realizes that his being born with understanding was not as rich as being stillborn. Verse 13, he would have been free of suffering if he was born stillborn. Verse 17, he would have been at rest. When he died and left, he'd be at rest. Verse 17. Let me just talk a moment. What about the babies, children who are born or died don't have that ability? Let me tell you something. Job is saying they have an advantage. But as for you and me who believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, we have an unbelievable knowledge and wisdom advantage to know Him, to walk with Him, to pray with Him, to get to know Him. This is why we want to witness to everybody, bring them into the knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is so wonderful. It is so enriching to know Jesus Christ. Now, finally, point five, in Ecclesiastes 6, 3-5, another difficult passage, Solomon compares the long life that is miserable, aware of good and bad, with the life of being born stillborn. The stillborn is much better off than the one who dies without hope. So, we're in the midst of looking at redemption. But I just want to spend time on this subject matter of redemption and those who never reach it. Any question? Okay? Good, thank you. I know that doesn't mean that I was that clear. But maybe you just need time to think about it. And you'll come up with all of your objections later. Yes?
Sorry, I have a correction to make.
Good.
I just checked the stat again. We actually are at 102 countries, not 95.
Wow.
We gain more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry.
Okay. Let's go back now to our study in redemption, our study of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. We are looking at redemption. People, we got hymns, I am redeemed. People talk about redemption, but not many Christians know very much about redemption. And we're going to spend some time on it. Spend some time on this study. Because we've got to understand our redemption. What happens when you're redeemed? So point one, let's take a look at definition and redemption. We studied it last week, so let's just quickly look at the headlines. In the doctrine of soteriology, the doctrine of salvation, there are three key words that are important to us. Redemption, reconciliation, propitiation. Redemption is towards sin. Reconciliation toward mankind. Propitiation toward God. All dealing with our salvation. Then B, so redemption emphasizes the fact that we are sinners. Not only by choice, personal decision to sin, but long before that, we were sinners at the point of birth. Actually, when we were born, when we stillborn. For we had to be condemned before we could be redeemed. So all are condemned. Okay. Now, we're going to jump right on ahead. We've got C and D, D, all the way down. But let's go on now to our study, leaving off where we left off last week. First of all, etymology, Roman numeral 2. Etymology. It's a compound word made up of apo, A-P-O, from. Latron, to redeem. To be redeemed from. The word means to go free for a ransom. There's the key. Not just to be free, but to go free for a ransom. The recording of captives, sinners, from captivity, sin. Now, point B, ransom. Or paid a price for redeeming captives, loosing them from their bonds, and setting them free, liberty. And we noted Matthew and Mark and another Mark. Now we come to where we left off last week. C. We're still under etymology. There are several words other words, that are part of the domain of redemption, of understanding redemption. I gave you the three key words, but there are many other words involved with our redemption that a lot of people are not even aware of in dealing with it. One, to pay a ransom. What is interesting about the word is that it is not used of the one who pays the ransom, but of him who received the ransom. Received being ransomed. To release or receive of a ransom. To release upon the payment of a ransom. Now, I want you to think clearly. One, stillborn, born, whatever, born with condemnation, born in the slavery of sin. Where we're going to go is that we are redeemed from that. All of us. The stillborn, believer, unbeliever, we're all made free, redeemed from it. That's what you want to understand here. So point one, to pay a ransom, what is interesting about the word is that it is not used of the one who pays the ransom, that's Jesus Christ, but of him who receives the ransom. That's you and me. To release or receive a ransom. Let's note a few passages. Titus 2:14. I don't know how long I have, but I hope I get to study Titus before I go home. I have not studied. I've read it and I've studied it in our years ago, but it's time to spend some good time in Titus. So much is there. He's a Gentile believer and unbelievable individual. But Titus 2:14, who gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. Now, there's so much in this one little verse. I don't want you to miss it. Because it can refer to all people redeemed from a lawless deed. But you see, there's the next part for our study of understanding redemption. That's salvation. To purify for himself. He redeemed. He freed everyone of sin to redeem them for himself. But there's a step to that. Believing in Jesus Christ. So, there's another addition there. Now, Pete. 1 Peter 1:18. I can't wait to meet Peter in heaven. I feel like him. I feel sorry. He can open his mouth and just get himself in more trouble. He can open his mouth and just lay jewels out. It's just amazing, Peter. 1 Peter 1:18, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers. So there's no going to be no redemption by us paying anything for it. 1 Peter 1:18, but with precious blood, as of a lamb, unblemished, spotless, the blood of Christ. We're going to have to study the blood of Christ. Few people understand it. I mean, boy, there was a battle when I was in seminary on the blood of Christ. I almost lost my right of being in Dallas Seminary. I'll come into that later when we study the blood of Christ. Not many people understand it. We've got to understand it from the Old Testament, from the New Testament. Now, point two. to release upon receipt of a ransom. The act of freeing or releasing. In the New Testament, the emphasis is never on the person releasing. That's Jesus Christ. But on the person being released. That's the sinner. All right, let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 61. And this is going to go to Zacharias. Blessed be the Lord, God of Israel, and our God in church age, for He has visited us and accomplished redemption for His people. Luke chapter 2, verse 38, looks up somebody else, Anna. After that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of Him to all those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Brings us to point three. Ransom, price of redemption. Now we've well seen there's a price required. The person who gets it is what freed by. What about the ransom price? Let's look at 1 Timothy 2:6. Who gave Himself as a ransom for all. Ransom price of redemption. Jesus Christ gave all. This time, we have the preposition to prepare a ransom on behalf of. The testimony born at the proper time. So, ransom price, the giving of Jesus Christ of Himself on the cross. Next, four, the Redeemer. The Redeemer. Deliverer. One who pays for the freedom. Acts 7, that's the same word of saying, talking about Jesus Christ, but from a different perspective of our study. We're studying the doctrine of redemption. The ransom price, Jesus Christ on the cross. Now, four, the Redeemer, Deliverer, one who pays for the freedom of another. Acts 7:35. This Moses, whom they disowned, saying, who made you a ruler and a judge? Don't ask Kit that. You'll have a couple hours dealing with the judge. Is the one whom God sent to be both a ruler and a deliverer with the help of the angel who appeared to him in the thorn bush. It refers to Moses as the redeemer of Israel. Now point five. To buy, to purchase in the market. Agora. Slave market. We're born into a slave market. Even in the womb, we're born into a slave market. So that's what we're talking about here. To buy for oneself a price freed or paid freely. So everyone has to be paid for. Come out of that slave pit. In the steel barn, living, but unable to make decisions, and then those who do. All have to come under this. Look at Romans 7:14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage of sin. We're all sold into the bondage of sin. Therefore, 1 Corinthians 6:20. For you have been brought forth with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Everyone is bought with this price. Only those who can joy are those who reach the point and make a decision toward Jesus Christ. Now, where believers are bought for a high price, the consequence of someone having been bought is that the buyer has the right of possession. Whoever does the buying has the right of possession. Therefore, in the redemptive work of Jesus Christ, Christ, by offering himself for us as due satisfaction free, freed us from our liability in paying it ourselves, which we could never have paid. Okay, I hope you understand what's going on here. Let's just simply look at something we know about in history. Past history, current history, and that is a slave. Person is bought into this family, into this ownership. They're slaves. God has not condemned slavery. I hope you understand that. He has not condemned slavery. A lot of people today want to condemn the founders of our freedom because they had and owned slaves. No one is condemned for owning a slave in the Bible and in history. Freedom is well talked about and is, of course, much more desired. We all desire to be free, or should. If you are familiar with this freedom in America, there were many, many who were freed of being a slave, but didn't want to go anywhere. They wanted to stay. They wanted to continue working under their owners. See? So, there's so much involved in it. And Jesus Christ has come and has paid the price so that we're all slave free. 1 Corinthians 7:23, you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Alright, this is very important to us. When we're born free in Christ, and you're freed at the salvation of Christ, don't go back into the slavery of man. Don't go back into a church where you come rules and slaves to that church, to the theology of that church. You are free in Christ. Enjoy your freedom. 1 Peter 2:1. But false prophets also arose from among the people, just as there will also be false teachers among you in the church age, who will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the Master who bought them, bringing swift destruction upon themselves. People, we have been freed in Christ. Enjoy that freedom in Christ. Use it in your life. Point six, to buy out of the market to redeem. All that's involved. To buy out of a market to redeem. Galatians 3:13. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. You've got to understand theology to understand Galatians 3:13. How does even a curse being hung from a tree has anything to do with all of this? You've got to understand the Word of God. You've got to understand what's happening in this passage. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Stillborn? Born and grow up and learn. we are all cursed of this law. We all have to be freed. And we are, by the work of Christ on the cross. Galatians 4:6. Because you are sons. Now this refers to one who has been redeemed. Redeemed out of it, condemned, brought out. But also one who has believed in Jesus Christ as Savior. Has both sides of our talking about. Our negative and our positive. Negative, all the sins gone. Positive, the righteousness of God. Galatians 4:6. Because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, "Our Father." People, that is so wonderful that you can do that. You can go before bed, your prayers are awake. Not that you're asleep when you pray, but be out. But you can spend your time in secret in prayer. Pray to the Father. Pray to Father. Don't ever miss that. In the Old Testament, I don't know if you know this, they never prayed to God as their Father. They knew Him as their Father. That tells us that in the Old Testament. But they never called Him that. You and I call Him Father because of the work of Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. We are in His Son. He is our Father. It is a marvelous, wonderful thing to pray to God the Father. It is absolutely phenomenal to have that privilege to pray to the Father. I've never understood people. I want to pray to Jesus. I want to pray to the Holy Spirit. People, Christ came. He came to take us to the Father. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us to bring us to the Father, Abba. That's why we're here, to come to the Father. It's a joy in our prayers. Now that brings us to Roman numeral 3. We're not blazing a fire through here, but I want to be sure you understand this important study. Point 3, Roman number 3.
Herman, before we move on, can I ask a question?
I'm sorry?
Can I ask a clarifying question?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
We are born, because of the old sin nature, we would be condemned.
Yes.
But because of the unlimited atonement of Christ's work on the cross, sin, the condemnation of sin, is set aside for, is paid for all mankind.
Yes.
I want to make sure that was, I'm understanding what you're saying there. From a righteousness standpoint, I'm still struggling with, but salvation is based on the righteousness of God, the positive.
Okay.
Where does that come from for an unborn child?
Let's go back to what we looked at, and that is in Romans 1, where God came, built all these things, and they are without excuse. God, the justice of God, looks forward to a decision to make for or against Jesus Christ, to make any judgment. They are with excuse because they have never reached that point. So that when a stillborn dies, they look at God, God looks at them, they are without sin. Therefore, they are right before God. The fairness of the justice of God, that's the importance of the being, they are without excuse. Everyone is without excuse that has been told. But those who have never even been told and understand, they are with excuse. That's the fairness of God. So does that help?
If they die with excuse,
yes,
then the righteousness of God would be imputed to them.
Exactly.
Because of the fairness and justice.
Exactly. And that's why I went to the study in Job. A lot of people don't ever take you to Job and Ecclesiastes, but those are very important in understanding what we're talking about. So this is part of that understanding.
Okay.
Okay, good. Anybody? All right. Roman number 3. All mankind are in need of redemption. All mankind. Let me just, I've never done this. Talked about stillborn, all that. But I just feel compelled with all that's going on in the world today, people getting deaths and of their babies and all of this, that we just need to be at peace. We need to be at peace and know what's going on. But I want you to know it from a Bible standpoint. There are a lot of Christians who believe that stillborn, all of this, somehow they're right with God. They have no idea why. And if you challenge them, they can't understand, they couldn't tell you. I don't want you to be like that. I want you to understand what God is doing to a stillborn, newborn baby, or one who reaches the point of accountability. I want you to understand it. I want you to have that peace in your soul from the Word of God, not just from, well, I want an abortion, that's all. I want you to have it in your soul. I want you to have it from the Word. Okay? Now, Roman number 3, all mankind are in need of redemption. Stillborn, whatever. A, we are all slaves born under sin. Romans 7:14, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin, helplessly condemned to death, to die, for all have sinned. The wages of sin is death. So that's as clear as it can be. But you got to understand something. How can we say we're not under the law today? And I teach that. Some teachers don't. You're still under the Mosaic law. No, you're not. You're not. Why are you not under law? Because God has set you free from the law. Now, B, same price for all members of the human race. You hear it? Same price for all members of the human race. Stillborn, born, grow a little bit, this type of thing. One reaches a point of accountability. One becomes a genius, a scientist, knows that God's wrong, knows that there is no such thing as God. Whatever it is, all members of the human race, same price, to redeem from sin called for death. A substitute, however, may take the sinner's place. Since he is unable to pay for his own death. Let's go to the stillborn. Person is born. Can't pay his price. Doesn't even understand he needs a price. I just want milk. I want mama's milk. That's all. No, I don't care about all that stuff. See? But this talks about those who do. Redeem from sin, call for death. They're all under sin, under death. A substitute, however, may take the sinner's place. So, stillborn, born, whatever, place taken care of. They're free. Christ has born them all. Free. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. And in so much as it is appointed for men to die, to die once, and after this comes judgment. People, this is all part of what we're studying. Comes judgment. But we've seen there is no judgment because they do not have the ability to determine what God has done. So they're born, they die under being accursed. But these are not born under a curse. Because they do not know. See? That make clear? Make sense? So, inasmuch as it is appointed for men to die once, and after this comes judgment. Why? because Satan. That's why I read John 16. It's a very important study. Now, Hebrews 6:28. So Christ also, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, meaning all mankind. Now, the many doesn't mean that he didn't die for some. It means that many take advantage of it and believe in Jesus Christ. That's a very quick drawing understanding of that. Many will appear a second time for salvation without referring to sin to those who eagerly await him. Those who believe. Now, C, very important. We're all the way down to this point, three, and C, no return. Redeemer will not sell, will not sell a slave he has purchased. When Jesus Christ redeems us, we can never return to our former slavery. Here is eternal security. Again, it is amazing how many things the grace of God has done to save us, to redeem us, that people think you can lose your salvation. That is amazing. I am so sorry for any preacher, person, believer who thinks you can lose your salvation. And I hear it on the radio. Good radio station on Christians. But they'll talk about it. You can lose it. That's a shame. That's a slap to God, first of all. Blaspheme to God, to Christ. That, to me, is the most thing. But what stupidity. What rejection. Okay, let's see now. When Jesus Christ redeemed us, we can never return to our former slavery. Here is eternal security. Again, it is amazing how many things the grace of God has done to save, redeem, people think you somehow can lose your salvation. That you can undo. You can undo what God has done. What blasphemy. Let's look at John chapter 10, verse 28. And I give eternal life to them, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. What comfort and joy we do have. Once Jesus Christ redeems, he does not send them that back into our slavery. Now, let me just quickly add, parentheses, you can go back your slave. I don't want your freedom. I want to be a slave. I want to sin. So you can do that. But God isn't going to do it. Okay? He does not send us that one back to slavery. Now, we have time for point D. Freedom. A wonderful, rich word. In our history in America, we have been losing it. We have already lost and are losing states' freedom, states' rights, just right and left. We're losing those. Now we're going to lose more and more. Freedom. The redeemed are loosed from bondage. Not even bond as slaves to the Redeemer. He will not own a slave. He will not have a servant who is not there by choice. They are set free. Okay. We're talking about the person. Born, grows up, learns enough this information. You now have their choice. Jesus Christ, not Jesus Christ. What a horrible decision to make it against him. Gospel of John 8:36. If therefore the Son shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. For all have sinned. Wages of sin is death. Galatians 5:1. is what it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Galatians 5:13, for you have been called to freedom, believer. Also, do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but therefore through love, serve one another. Oh, people, we need to serve one another, not badmouth one another, not judge one another, not condemn one another. Well, they have a car, they have a house, they have this, and I don't know. Oh, they're like this, their children are like this. Please don't do this. We don't have time to badmouth one another. We don't have time to do that. We've got to serve one another. Serve them. Financially, by word, by prayer, whatever it is. We've got to serve one another. We're in Christ. We're going to be together forever and ever. See? I like to tell my wife, sometimes I'm not what I ought to be. I say, hey, just remember, in heaven I won't be like that. Well, you're not there now. She's quite a battle. But the point is, let's not do that to each other. Let's not fight each other, badmouth each other. I don't care if you've got a reason for it. Don't do it. Just turn it over to the Lord. Let Him handle it. However, the slave might become a willing bondservant. That's what I said a moment ago. So let's look at 1 Corinthians 9:18. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may offer the gospel without charge, so as not to make full use of my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I might win all. Tell others about Jesus Christ as a Savior, as their Savior. 2 Corinthians 5:14. For the love of Christ controls us. And oh, I hope you are controlled by the love of Christ, which is the Holy Spirit. Having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died. And he died for all, so that they who live might not longer live, no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again for their behalf. Always end your discussion with the gospel, with the resurrection, with the crucifixion, with the resurrection. I'm very happy in our neighborhood. Next phone. Guy has 3 crosses at Christmas. I'm going to do it next year. I don't know how I'm going to do it because I can't tie. I'm not a carpenter. But he has 3 beautiful crosses. And the more I think about it, I got to add something to that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to make 3 crosses, but I don't know how to make a empty cave either, or grow a graveyard. Because they go together, people. He died, he rose. We're free. We'll resume at this point next Sunday. Yes.
Sorry, if Pat and Phil, if do you guys want to share a little bit about the chili real quick before we go, or we can too?
Did you find the form?
No. Just let everyone know, but we can do it together, Pat.
Okay,
Herman, if we share a little bit about the chili cook-off for next weekend?
Yes.
Before we go?
Yes.
Okay. So we're having the chili cook-off COVID style next week.
Next Sunday.
Next Sunday.
So come hungry.
Yeah, I will.
Well, you can take it home, sir, hungry.
Yeah.
I'm ready to sample.
Yeah, we're putting the three different chilies in a bag for you to take home.
In a cup.
In a cup.
We're going to mix it. COVID-19 has cheated us out of our how many pieces of different kinds of chili there'd be there.
And refills on your favorites.
Something or other. But anyway, there'll be three kinds of chilies. This is the Jim Langston Memorial Chili Cook-Off, by the way. And we will be serving, you know, putting that in bags for you and asking you to vote one, two, or three. We're also asking for donations, of course, because this is our fundraiser for Liberty Youth Group, one of the fundraisers. So there is a form online.
Mm-hmm. You want me to?
Yeah, she put it out.
Leslie sent out. Hopefully everyone's
okay.
So, like Martha and Mark already did it, and you can go on right and click on donate for the chili thing. So that's letting Pat and Phil and Larry and Brian and all of us know how many to kind of prepare for.
Well, that was actually what I wrote her back was, because it was unclear, because I wanted to get three, but it doesn't tell me how to do.
Right. How Larry and Pat and Phil are talking about it, right? Pat and Phil, correct if I'm wrong. If you sign up for a donation, then you're going to get one sample per person. So, like, if Anella, you know, is leaving church next week, we would have one sample pack for her if she made a donation.
When and how do you vote?
Well, then
you
we're going
to start voting
now.
You can vote for the white chili right now.
I haven't eaten yet. What? Y'all sound like Democrats. I can't. I can't believe it.
Lori's going to have a flyer in your bag when you get your sample. The samples will be numbered 1, 2, and 3. You get to vote for the 1, 2, or 3 online.
There's a little QR code, you know, where you just hold your phone over it, and it'll pop up. And you can vote 1, 2, 3.
Okay.
If that just makes you crazy to think about doing that, Pat or Phil or me or Larry or Brian, we can help you. Yeah. Julie.
Just bring a pocket full of cash. We'll get you the one where it needs to go.
If we can only get one per person, can I add dead persons? I've got a lot in my family.
We don't understand what that means. Do you want more chili? Or are you wanting to pay more money?
No
refills, but you can take that at that night, the next month, and during the Sunday, right? You can take home more than one.
If you want more of one kind of chili, or if you want more chili, period, you need to let us know by Wednesday.
So we can make more.
So that we can make more.
Just reply to her email?
Pardon me?
Just reply to her email?
I don't know who she is. I don't know if it's Leslie.
Oh, Leslie.
Leslie
put out the email.
This is a hot topic.
Make enough for two under each one of them.
Yeah, well, initially we planned on 30 samples of the three chilies.
Yeah.
But if it turns out to be you're talking a pot of chili, then we need to know.
Okay, let's close in prayer. And get ready for next Sunday morning in our study and in our chili. So let's close now in a word of prayer. Father, we just praise you. You're so fair for everyone. We thank you, Father, that you have taken care of the freeborn, those who are born, die, but never old to tell the story. Father, we thank you for redemption. We still have things to learn about it, but just what we've learned, what a gracious God our God is for all that's involved in redemption. We praise you, Father, for the redeeming Savior that you are. pray that your spirit use the things we've seen this morning. Let's transfer by giving it to somebody else. Tell somebody else they're free. They're free. Will you believe in Jesus Christ? Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen.